Saturday morning, it's the Experts Program on Power Talk Radio, 1460 and 101 FM. Nan Lesnick is our retirement expert. She joins us right now. Good morning, Nan.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, we have a really interesting topic, one that we started on Thursday, and it's all about the financial emergency kit. We talked about a few of the things that people want to have in that kit, and why don't we go ahead and go over that and also expand upon it. What are some of the things that you think people should have in a financial emergency kit, and what do you define that emergency kit as?
Okay, well, it's not just a financial kit. Let's say it's the operation of your household, which is to a large extent financial.
Right.
But the things that you want to have, and we mentioned, you know, a fireproof, waterproof safe. By the way, I do want to mention the fact that we do for all of our clients what we call a family estate organizer. And what that does is it puts all of your financial records in one book.
Okay.
Okay. Now, that book has to be kept up to date, but it's reasonably up to date, and it does identify every asset that you have, and for the most part, how that asset is insured. In other words, the information on your home is there. The information on your home insurance is there. Now, if you have to evacuate your home because of fire or windstorm or something, it's really important for you to know who the homeowner's insurance company is and what your policy number is.
Good point.
So those kinds of things being recorded are important. So cash and keys, of course, are important.
How much cash should someone try and have on hand? And because we talk about a situation where maybe we have a really large national disaster or natural disaster or a civil emergency, and ATM machines, two things. They may be, well, actually three things. If the electricity is out and they have battery backups and those run out, they're not going to be working. Or lots of people will be in line, right? Everybody yep. wants to get some cash out. Number three, yep. the machine has been drained of cash.
Right. Okay. So the rule of thumb, and it is just a rule of thumb. In disaster training of all kinds, they say you should be able to be away from everything for a period of not less than 3 days. So enough cash to get you through 3 days.
Right.
Okay. So some people have a little more. I can tell you that there's a real common number that I hear from my clients, and that is that they have $10,000 in cash. Those people who are retired or close to retirement who feel as though they have the assets to do so have in a safe in their home an amount of money. And like I say, I hear the term $10,000 periodically. So it's a number that is really important to you and makes sense to you. But keep in mind, if you had to leave your home and now all of a sudden you're perhaps in a shelter and maybe food is provided, but if you can get to a store and need to buy things, it's possible that you won't have your ATM card. The ATMs may not be working. And as, what was it? I guess it wasn't last winter, the winter before when we had the huge storms mm-hmm. in up in North County where I live, the Safeway store had no power for nearly a week. So when you went in to get food at the end, they were actually giving food away because they couldn't store it. But when you went in, you couldn't use a credit card. You had to use cash to get food. So that's the need for cash. And again, I'm not exactly sure what that number is for people, but I would say from my own standpoint, I'd like it to be enough to get me through a month right. because I may be away from my home for that period mm-hmm. of time. So in my case, I'm figuring that $5,000 would take care of anything that I needed to take care of in the immediate aftermath of a disaster.
Right. And okay. if you can't put away that much or have that much on hand, at least have something.
That's right.
I'd say at least try and get maybe $1,000. You know, I mean, that's better than having nothing, right?
That's correct. That's right. absolutely correct. You know, that old word, cash is king. Well, yep. that's the kind of time where we would see that be true. Okay. So another thing that we want you to have is a list of contacts. Who are the important people in your life? Your family, your friends, and your medical and professional people that you might need to contact. If we had to flee our home, we certainly would want to be able to contact our kids and our other family members. Maybe we wouldn't have phone service. I've got all that stuff on my phone. As a matter of fact, today when I was having difficulty communicating with you, I was thinking, I'm way too dependent on this thing. I mean, if this thing can't communicate with Mark Carbonaro, I'm out of luck. So we need to have a backup on that. We need to have the list with telephone numbers, emails, and other contact information. And that should be part of that kit. Now, again, we include that in the family estate organizer because also there's something else to remember. And that is when something like this strikes, I mean, you may know my number by heart and you probably do because you say it so often. You probably don't even have to look it up anymore. You can just say it when we're talking on the radio, when you give my contact information.
This is true.
But if you had a catastrophe strike you and you needed to contact me, you might not be able to remember that number because your brain is being all clogged up with other stuff that has risen to the top.
Boy, is that the
truth. So that's important. The other thing is identification. And again, this is something that we tell people must be available. You may have to prove who you are.
Okay? So like a permanent toe tag?
Perhaps have a tattoo on the bottom of your foot.
Yeah, with your name on it. I actually know someone who has their name tattooed on their back, so that's, you know, not a bad thing.
I cannot resist telling you that Mark was in an auto parts store. Mark, my husband, not you, in an auto parts store, and there was a gal behind him who was unclear as to what fate she was supposed to get. She was trying to talk to her, whoever, significant other on the phone about what exactly she was supposed to get. And so Mark, you know, he knows a lot about cars. He's like you. He thought he could help her, and he turned around, and she had, in where her eyebrows used to be, she had a tattoo that said Watsonville. Huh. Maybe she could have other information tattooed elsewhere on her body.
You go.
Mark
go.
Said, what do you say to somebody who has Watsonville where they're tattooed on their face where it used to be their eyebrow?
You have a key to the city.
Yeah. You want to have access to your property and financial assets. Mm-hmm. The essential documents that you need to have, including extra originals, if you can get them, or at least good copies of a passport, a driver's license, your birth certificate, your marriage certificate, adoption records, social security card, green card, any military records. Now, here's something that I can tell you about having marriage certificate. A marriage certificate is a very important thing in the event that your spouse predeceases you. When you go to Social Security, they want a marriage certificate proving that you were actually married to this person. So these are important documents. So there's also other records. A short list of financial documents that can fit into your kit would be mortgages, property deeds, legal documents, such as power of attorney, and so forth. Again, these are things that we include in the family estate organizer. People tell us many times when they become our clients, one of the reasons why we chose to become your client is because of that family estate organizer. We have never had everything in one place. And we do it because if all of a sudden you are ill and you can't run the business of your household, somebody who steps in has what we call the operations manual for how does stuff happen in the Lesnick household.
Right.
What money comes in, what money goes out, and when does that happen? And then another thing is, what are your valuables? You need to create an inventory of your personal belongings. You should have, the best thing to have is a photo or a video inventory and put that in your emergency kit. And that's just so important because if your home is a total loss, you've got to be able to prove what you own. Now, we had an instance happen with a client who had a fire in their house and they had a terrific new Range. It had a double oven and it was just state of the art. And the insurance company wanted to replace that with a 4-burner electric range, the kind that you see in the clearance aisle at Home Depot. And they were not able to prove what kind of a range they had in their house. And they got stuck with that because they weren't able to find the purchase information in time. Eventually they got it settled, but boy, was it a pain in the neck. So being able to have receipts for that kind of stuff or a photo or video inventory, take a video. You know, most of us have a phone now that will take a video of our house. You can just stand in the living room and go around and you can speak to it and say, there's the chest that I inherited from my grandmother. You can, narrate the video.
That's a good point. And then you can upload that video to the cloud, particularly
exactly.
If you have an iPhone, it's an iCloud account.
Yep.
And you can always download this onto a USB drive, put that in your Go kit, and put that in with all your other valuables that, you know, paperwork that you would take with you.
And when people have a portfolio and have real estate holdings and so forth, I always feel feel as though it's worthwhile to spend the money on some kind of a vault. In our estate planning, for our estate planning clients, we always look to see if there's some kind of a vault of information that is available, and that's where that information can be stored. So all they need to do is to have the access to that vault, know how to get to that, and all of those documents will be there. So another thing that's mentioned in this is really important, and that is to have, if you have kids or grandkids that you're spending time with or you are responsible for, have a kit for them. When I read this, it brought to mind the work that my Republican Women's Group does with the Sheriff's Department to provide comfort items for kids who've had a tragedy or a crime or something bad happen in their family. They have these comfort kits that include a stuffed animal, so forth. Well, that kind of reflects back to me on the thoughts that early in my career, we used to say that if children lose their parents or a parent, it's important that they have the other things that are comfort to them. You know, when we're taking care of kids, we don't necessarily think about what parts of their lives make them comfortable, but their toys, books, music, electronics, or whatever, it's important that you have access to those things, because if you do end up staying in a shelter for a period of time, for your kids to have a little bit of home that they can hold in their arms can likely take them through a really, really tough time without quite so much personal trauma.
Nan, that's all the time we have for this weekend, but I appreciate your joining us. Nan Lesnick's been our guest. Reach her at her office in Monterey on Garden Road, 831-656-0236. Online, it's lesnickcompany.com. Her email, nan@lesnickcompany.com. Nan, thanks very much, and we'll chat again on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.